faith. And what that says is the justified one shall live daily by faith. And faith is very simply believing in the truth. Now, we believe a lot of things to be true. It's very interesting. We all live by faith in a lot of ways. Because if you saw, or you got in the mail, or you saw in the newspaper, an advertisement, I think this last week, that a certain grocery store had eggs on sale for 49 cents, you would believe that, get in your car and go over there and purchase those eggs. So you went over there by faith. You believe what that ad said. If you had another ad, it was something out at Cherryvale Mall, and you saw something in there that you had been wanting for a long time and it was on sale, you'd get right in your car, drive out there, pay the price, buy whatever that thing is. Now, that's exactly the way we're supposed to live according to the Word of God. We are, in fact, you probably would even call up somebody and tell them something's on sale. Every once in a while, somebody does that to us. They'll call on the phone and say, there's something on sale there. I know you like this, and it's on sale over there at a certain place. And you'd even tell somebody was on sale. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. You'd want to tell somebody the truth of the Word of God, and so that you and they would act upon that on a daily basis. Now, Paul says very simply, that's the way Christians should live. They should live by faith. They should live believing every single thing in the Word of God, everything the Bible says. We should be living every day as that is true, because it is. And the Bible, very simply, is a book that tells the truth in advance before it happens. The Bible is a book of prophecy. It tells us, now I can tell you exactly some of the things that are going to happen in the future. I don't have to consult Gene Dixon or go to a fortune teller to find out. I go to the Word of God, and it tells me, and I was telling the Wednesday night crowd about this, and I'll tell you so you can begin to see it take place. Really, the Bible indicates that there are going to be four major wars in the world before Jesus Christ makes a new heaven and a new earth. One of them is very close, and that war is that Israel is on the verge of bombing the nuclear reactor and so forth in Iran. They are going to do it. It is very close. It's going to start a war in the Middle East, which Israel is going to win. That's the first war. That one's very close. It'll probably be within our lifetime. In fact, it'll probably be in the very near future. Then the next war is going to be in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Israel is going to become a very powerful nation because of the first war I just spoke of. And Russia and several other countries are going to come against Israel. They're going to lose. 5/6 of their armies are going to die. It's going to be a supernatural thing that God's going to do. And then the Bible says at the end of the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period, there's going to be a war called Armageddon. Everybody's heard of that one. In that war, all the nations of the world is going to surround Israel, and God's going to do a supernatural work, and these armies will be destroyed. And then the Bible says at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, just before the new heaven and a new earth, Satan's going to be released, and he's going to get an army and come against Israel again. And God's going to take him and his army, and they're all going to be cast into eternal hell. Four wars, major wars, that are going to take place in history. I can tell you that is a fact because the Word of God says so. Now, the Word of God says a lot of things. As I just said, it tells us how to live. If we'd start living like God says we're supposed to live, then we'd all be a whole lot better off at the end. Because I've always said there's going to be a test at the end. And God is going to test us with what we did with our life from the time we received Christ to the time that we die. Most of us will, some of us are probably going to die before Christ comes for his church. And so we're going to be judged not before what we did before, but what we did during the time, whether or not we lived by faith. And faith is very simply knowing what the Word of God says and acting on that in your life. It's also speaking the Word of God. We've talked about the fact that if you want your life to start changing, you want your life to start being pleasing to God, read the Bible, but read it out loud. Read it out loud. There's something about reading it out loud that not only is pleasing to God, but it's also pleasing to you because your ears hear it, it goes into your heart, and becomes a part of your life. So God tells us exactly how to do these things. It's really not complicated at all. It's very simply taking the Word of God, learning what the Word of God says, speaking that Word, and then living that out in your life. Because since God created everything, he's going to wrap everything up at the end, and then we're accountable to what we've done. So I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. They just like to come to church, hear something good, maybe something they hadn't heard before, and say, oh, I heard something new today. And then just go ahead and live their life any way they want to. Well, we're responsible for the way we live our lives. The world without Christ is not responsible to anybody but themselves. And that's why they do what they do. That's why they believe what they believe. I've said before, but this just truly amazes me that there are some people that have a religion that says, if you kill other people, you're going to be pleasing to God. Now, does that sound like that came from God? I don't think so. Because the Bible says very clearly that God says he is love. You love people into the kingdom of God. You don't kill people to be pleasing to God. That's ridiculous. And anybody that believes that, they're even... I don't want to get started on this, but they're even teaching some of this kind of stuff in the school textbooks today. They're teaching a religion now that they don't teach all it believes because people wouldn't want to hear it, but there's all kinds of things being taught in school textbook today, and the textbook we should be going by is the Lord. So what we want to learn is the things of God so we can act on those just like we go to where the sale is when we hear about it. We want to start going to what God says in his word. Now, how do we know this is true? Well, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. I want to show you something here that is really quite remarkable. Well, we'll start probably at maybe verse 1. Isaiah 45 and verse 1. And I'll just start that, and I want to talk about this a little bit. Isaiah 45, 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I've held to subdue the nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-lived gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now, that scripture was written 200 years before Cyrus was born. Cyrus wasn't even born yet when this was written. But God said, I've anointed Cyrus. Now, who was Cyrus? Cyrus was a general in the Persian Empire. He may have been a Mede, actually, Mede in the Persian's Empire. And they were doing a siege around Babylon. Now, Babylon was an empire that had been going on for hundreds of years, and they built this city called Babylon. It's over in Iraq today. It's still there, but not like it was. But it's going to be, as I said Wednesday night, Babylon's going to become a major city again in the future. But anyway, there was a city of Babylon, and Babylon had two walls around the whole city. and they were as thick as this building is wide. And in between the two walls was a moat or water, very deep. And the Medes and the Persians had been sieging this place for 2 years, and everybody in the world thought nobody can take Babylon. In fact, the king of Babylon was so confident that no one could take this city that while he was being sieged, they were having a big party in the palace inside the city. But God, 200 years before, said, I'm going to bring somebody that's going to conquer that city, and I'm going to tell you exactly how he's going to do it. 200 years before, God wrote this down just to show you that he knows the beginning from the end. And exactly how Cyrus was going to conquer Babylon is in the very first verse. Now they had this river, Euphrates, that ran through the city. And that was their water supply. That supplied the water around between the two walls and everything. So it was really impossible to get in there. And they had iron gates coming down into the water so that an army couldn't come through on the river. But it says here, in chapter 45, verse 1, to Cyrus, he said, I'm going to open before him the two levered gates, and the gates will not be shut. So what happened was, Cyrus and some of his army went north of the city and rerouted the river so it would go another way. And God opened those gates, and they marched in under the walls, and they took the city. In fact, it was such a surprise that some of the people in the city didn't even know they'd been conquered for 3 days. It was an amazing thing. The king of Babylon died. All of his armies, his generals, and everything else, they were surprised. Cyrus took the city. But Cyrus didn't really know that God was involved here. So Daniel was inside the city. You remember Daniel. And when Cyrus came marching into the city in triumph, Daniel went out to him and took the word of God and said, I'm going to show you where God, 200 years before this, wrote down exactly how you were going to take this city. And Cyrus was so impressed that he made Daniel number three in his kingdom. But the issue is that God knows everything. Nothing happens that God doesn't know about. And also we find out how to live by faith and how to live for the Lord and all of this. And God is going on here, and he's going to discuss some things I think will be interesting to us today. All right. Let's go down to, let's go to verse 11. I want to start here. And it's interesting in the Bible, people say, you know, well, if there's a God, how can I know him? Well, this is God speaking right here in the Word of God. In verse 11, he says, Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. That's interesting. He says to Israel, I made you. He's saying to you and I today, I made you. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command you me. Now, some people have taken verse 11 and said, you can tell God what to do. But that isn't what that means. What that means is, very simply, is God is going to tell you what to do, and then you can start commanding those things in your life. We are to command the things of God in our life. We are to start ordering our life according to the Word of God. How do you do that? You study the Word of God, you speak the Word of God, and you do the Word of God. Some people study the Word of God, and that's all they do. And they don't do anything else. That's going to be interesting when they stand before Jesus. Some people even read the Word of God and they speak the Word of God, but they really don't do the Word of God. That's going to be interesting when they stand before Jesus. But there's going to be some, there's going to be a group of people who read the Word of God, who speak the Word of God, and who do the Word of God. And that's what God's looking for today. It hasn't changed in thousands of years. It's always the same. God will never change His way of doing things. That's the way He does it. And so He says, command you me, and what He means is, you can start commanding the things of God in your life when you have surrendered to God, when you've given your life to God, when you're studying and speaking the things of God, then you can start doing those things in your life. Then you can start commanding things in your life. You can become what God wants you to be. Let's go on, verse 12. For I have made the earth and created man on it. Now that's very clear. There's a few people should have read that because one of them was Darwin. He should have read that verse right there. Because God said, I've created everything. And he said, I created the earth and I put man on it. Now we've talked about this. Why is there a moon? Why is there a sun? Why is there stars? Why are the planets? Why are the galaxies? Why is there a planet called Earth? Very simply, because God made them, and He made them for man. That made you special. God put this planet Earth here so He could put man on it, so He could teach man to be like Him, so eventually he would have a family that would be with him forever. That's the plan of God. It hasn't changed in all these thousands of years. And God says so right here. I made the earth. I created man upon it. And I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens. And all their host have I commanded. God said, I put the stars and everything in place. I did it very simply for planet earth, to put man on planet earth so man could learn of me. That's exactly what he says. You're here for one reason, to learn about God and become one of his kids. There's no other reason for you to be breathing. And we got all this stuff we're involved in and all this stuff the world's trying to do. The world's trying to recreate itself without God. And it's not working. And it's not going to work. All is going to end up in war, as I just mentioned. And so very simply here, he said, I've stretched out the heavens. Every star is in place where it's supposed to be, and the Bible says God named every one of them, and there's billions of them. Every one of them has a name. In fact, that's one of the ways that Adam knew the plan of God. He looked up in the heavens, and God told him what the name of the stars were. And if you take the name of the stars, you come up with something called the Maseroth, which today they call the Zodiac. They've distorted the whole thing. It was distorted at the Tower of Babel. But the issue is, even the plan of God is written in the stars. And how do you know that? Because you take these stars by name, and it gives you the whole plan of God for man is written in the stars. Isn't that interesting? Of course, Satan and man and everybody else messed it up. They have astrology and all that junk today, and that has nothing to do with the plan of God. But the issue is, never change the plan of God. Never change one star. Man can't do that. Now, let's go on. I have raised him in an uprightness. I will direct all of his ways. He shall build my city. He's talking to really about Cyrus here. And he shall let my captives go. That was the Jews. The Jews had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, and Cyrus was to let them go. Not for a price nor reward, said the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the laborer of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be yours, and they shall come after thee, and chains shall they come over, they shall fall down upon thee, and so on. Surely God is in thee, there's none else, there is no other God. Verily you are a God who hides yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and confounded, and all brought to confusion that are maker of idols. And what God says, He's going to bring confusion to anyone that worships anything but Him. You want to know why people worship the weirdest things? They worship everything from bugs to animals to statues to people. Why do they do that? Because they're not worshiping the living God. That's the reason. God said, when they worship anything but me, they're going to be in confusion. So if you're worshiping anything in your life but God, your life is going to be confusion. And you want to know why all these things, somebody says, why are all these things happening to me? It's very simple. If you don't worship the living God, your life is going to be in confusion. Oh, it might look good to people, but it certainly doesn't look good to God. You see. And you want to know why people believe the things they do. Some people say, well, you know, they can just believe anything they want to. As long as they're sincere in it, they're going to be all right. That isn't what the Word of God says. What they're in is confusion. In fact, the Bible says that these are the people, the ones that are worshiping all these other things, including themselves, they're going to be the ones that are going to be heralding the Antichrist when he comes on the scene and think that he is God. The world is going to come and think that he is God. You know, I didn't get a kick out of this. I thought it was the biggest tragedy I ever heard this week on the news, and I don't watch a lot of it because it's depressing. But the issue is, the Pope was over in Israel, and he said, we got to give part of this land to the Palestinians. I'd like to see him tell God that face to face and see what happens. That's a disaster waiting to happen. Every time somebody tries to give away land over in Israel, something tragic happens on this earth. They ought to learn that. There's been books written about it. You know, the first Bush Senior went over to Israel, and they were having a conference over there with some other nations, and he says, I want to give away, if we give away part of Israel, like the West Bank or something, then there won't be any more wars. And while he was in the conference over there in Israel trying to bring this to pass, a storm hit his home up there on the coast and tore that thing apart. And he had to go home before they ever... That give you an idea? You don't mess around with the living God. That's what that means. And so... you know, some churches don't hold anybody accountable. You just believe anything you want to. In fact, I had a guy invite me to the Unitarian Church one time, and I said, what do they believe? He says, oh, it doesn't make any difference. He said, everybody just believes anything they want to. Well, I could do that in my garage. I don't have to go to church for that. I mean, that's crazy. And, tell that to God when they stand before him. You just believe anything you want. You know, I'm talking Old Testament here. We haven't even got into the New Testament. And God right back here. And he said, I know the beginning from the end. I know exactly what's going to happen. And it said, go to verse 15 in Isaiah 45. Verily thou art a God who hides himself, O God of Israel. Let's go down. Verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or condemned, world without end. Now one thing verse 17 says, they're always going to be in Israel. Now I don't care how many nations come against that little nation over there. How many neighbors want to destroy them and say they're going to come to nothing? What's going to come to nothing is the nations that say they're going to destroy them. Because God said so. He said there's always going to be an Israel. You know, people didn't believe this before 1948. They said Israel was done. It was over. There wasn't going to be an Israel. God's through with Israel. Now he's going to deal just with the Gentiles. And in 1948, everybody woke up. Because all of a sudden, can a nation be born in a day? Yes, one day Israel became a nation. And boy, they started heading for their Bibles and searching their Bibles quickly in 1948, because wait a minute here, maybe we must have missed what God said. And yes, one of the verses they missed is this one right here. God said there's always going to be an Israel. Nobody's going to mess with it. There might be a little damage here and there, but he says he's the Savior of Israel. Verse 17, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. There's an indication during the Battle of Armageddon that Israel will be overrun, but it's not going to be destroyed. Very simply, because the Word of God says so. I can guarantee that. And why would that little piece of real estate over there in the Middle East cause so much news all the time? Isn't that amazing? It's because God's got his hand on that little nation over there. And he said it's always going to be. Now we can have confidence in the Word of God, because if it's true about Israel, it can also be true about you and I. Are you listening to me? What he says about you and I is true also. That's why we need to pay attention to this word. Now, let's go on. He's not done. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord who created the heavens, here it is again, God himself who formed the earth and made it, he has established it, he has created it not in vain, it is formed to be inhabited, and there it is, by man. That's exactly who was going to inhabit it. I am the Lord, there is none else. Now God is saying, I have declared it, it is going to be, and nobody's going to change it. All right? Now, I am the Lord, he says, there is no one else. Do you mean to tell me that people that pray five times a day and bow about 100 times a day and speak something out of some book, do you mean, and they're sincere as they can be, do you mean that they're worshiping the wrong God? Yes. Yes, they are. Why are they? Because they've turned from the living God, and then Satan will provide them one. Are you listening? Everybody worships something. I said everybody worships something, you see. And but it does make a difference what you worship and who you worship. That's the issue. Why do you think by the foolishness of preaching, the Word of God says, this word's going to get out. There's preachers all over the world preaching this message today. And there's also a lot of, most of the world's ignoring the whole thing. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Because if God created it all, he can wind it all up. You see. You can shake your fist at God, but it's not going to change God. Now, look at this, verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. He's got people that don't know any better like me preaching this message all over the place. God's not doing it in secret. Somebody can't say, I didn't hear the truth, because I'm speaking it here right out of this book. He said, I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek you me in vain. I am the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together. You see, he always gives an invitation. You want to know why we give an invitation? God gives an invitation. He just gave an invitation to the whole world right there. He says, assemble yourselves together and come. Draw near together, you who are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge. They've set up wood of their carved image and pray unto a God that cannot save. How could man be so dumb? And I've said this before, but how can man be so dumb who was created by God that think they could cut a tree down, cut a chunk out of that tree, cut that chunk in half, use half of it for firewood, and the other half carve it out of it, make a god out of it, and bow down to it. Now, is that the stupidest thing you ever heard of? But people do that. And I'm not making fun of them. They're in darkness. They're lost. They're without Christ. They don't know the truth because they can't know the truth until they come to the invitation of God. So he said, I haven't spoken in secret. Assemble yourselves. Verse 21, tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who've declared this from the ancient time, who told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God, a Savior. There's none besides me. Look unto me and be saved, God said. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I've sworn by myself, the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength, even to him shall all men come. All that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now, that was written 200 years before Cyrus came in and conquered Babylon. Cyrus was smart enough to know that when the word of God came out and it predicted what he had just done, he had taken the city of Babylon, and it was predicted 200 years before, he was a smart enough man to know there's got to be some truth here, you see. Now, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we need to believe that. We need to get a hold of that. We need to buy that. It's more accurate than what's in the newspaper about what we can go out and buy. This is the truth. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the truth of God. God sent Jesus so that we would know what God was like. And Jesus came, and he didn't start any wars. All his followers said, oh man, he's going to take over. He's going to take over the world. He's going to kick the Romans out. And all he did was love people. All he did was heal people. All he did was raise little children from the dead. All he did was to defeat the enemy and cast demons out of people. And all he did was said, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That was Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, that's the same message today, and he's still giving rest to people. And he's going to continue to give rest until he comes again. He is the answer to wars. He's the answer to the problems on the earth. He's the answer at home. He's the answer at work. He's the answer every place. Jesus Christ is. He's going to show us our need. You know, somebody says, well, how do you come to God? I think two things are necessary. Well, maybe three. You have to know the Word of God. You have to know the truth. You have to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And then secondly, I think you, according to John the Baptist, you have to repent. You have to say, I am a sinner. Without God, I am nothing. Without God, I cannot do anything that's righteous eternally. Without God, I can't do anything acceptable to him. And then you simply receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Now, when you do that, he comes to live in your life, and then he wants to start living out his life in yours. Your personality, who you are, he comes to live in you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, it doesn't make any difference if you're rich, poor, whatever you are. Some of the most brilliant people in the world are worshiping tree stumps. We We got college professors in college that say, I just don't understand where this world came from. We know better than that. Isn't that amazing? We spend all this money sending our kids to colleges where they tell them we came from some slime that crawled out of the ocean. We've got to be crazy. We ought to start our own university. Tell them the truth about the Lord. You see. Then you believe God's word. He said it very simply. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, I never get tired of that message. When I start thinking about what God has done for us, it is absolutely overwhelming. When you think, every time you get up in the morning, you see that sun, God put that up there for us. You get up in the middle of the night and you look out and the moon's out there, that big bright moon, you said, God put that out there for me. Hallelujah. Isn't that neat? God put it out there for you and I. We spent all this money. We sent these astronauts up there to find out what the moon was all about, and we could find out right here in the Word of God. God put it up there for you and I. The moon's a reflector of the sun. We're supposed to be reflectors of the sun, the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. Now, if you get on the phone, you say, you know, there's a big sale over there. They got eggs for 49 cents. And man, people are getting in their cars. They're revving them up. Man, they are on their way. Yeah. What about Jesus Christ has created everything, and he put everything up in the sky, and he put all the planets in place. He's named every star. He knows exactly what's going to happen before it happens. I didn't say he made it happen, but he knows what's going to happen. He knew what Cyrus was going to do, and Cyrus said, my goodness, he must be God. We ought to be smart enough to say, my goodness, there's a God, and he loves me. And he cares about me. And I'm going to tell other people. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I want them. It's more important than eggs 49 cents. They'd have to expand the cell phone business if everybody started talking about Jesus. They really would. Now, you say, well, I don't worship a tree stump. Well, if you worship yourself without God, it's not a whole lot of difference. Are you listening? We are responsible to God. Every single one of us. We're responsible to God for what we do with our life. We're responsible for what we think, for what we say, and for what we do. And so that's the reason we should be in the Word of God. That's where we should be, where it's being taught. That's why we should be in a place that loves God, where we can love God and love other people. You know, all Christians have to do is love other people. It's not complicated. We're not here to criticize people, to judge other people. We're here to love people into the kingdom of God. Now, not everybody is in the same place. There's some 5-year-old Christians, some 10-year-old Christians, some 20-year-old Christians, and so on up the line. Now, we're not all at the same place. We're not all going to act like maybe everybody thinks we ought to. You see. But there's a lot of teenagers around that they don't act very loving. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, we got teenagers in the body of Christ, and what we have to do is love them through that time into maturity. That's what we're to do as a church. We're to eat together. We're to pray together. We're to read the Word of God together. We're to assemble together and to praise the Lord. I'm just giving you the basic, what the Bible says today about life. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, we're going to have an invitation. Now, I'm going to tell you something very interesting. God cares about everybody that's here, and He's already told some people some of the needs in this place that He wants prayer for. He's already done that. God's alive. He knows everything about you and me. He's not here to embarrass anybody, but He is here to bless people, heal people, and touch people. Let's stand before the Lord, the elders come, and anybody else that's going to pray, and let's